Welcome to the podcast, Entrepreneur Perspectives, building and protecting your business one podcast at a time, a Kesource family production. This podcast exists in large part because of KesCM, the content marketing business inside Kesource Inc. So what does KesCM do? You know how many business leaders need help communicating their story? Well, that's what we do. Content creation and distribution for business leaders. This provides opportunities, relationships, and a platform for you and your business. Why do we do this? Because at KesCM, we exist to help business leaders build a meaningful legacy that is worth living and leaving. Learn more by visiting KesCM.com. In this episode, we discuss dealing with doubters, professional development, and the Sacramento Kings. Win all in, play my cards right. Our guest today is Galen Duncan, VP of Professional Development for the Sacramento Kings. Galen is located in Sacramento, California, where he works in the Kings office. He has been with the Kings for over a year and previously was a senior director of player development for the Detroit Lions in the NFL. In his role with the Sacramento Kings, Galen is responsible for implementation of the Kings Academy program, a developmental, player-centric curriculum aligning multifaceted organizational philosophies and ideals to help athletes mature into well-rounded professionals. His examples of leadership were on full display in our chat. His actions prove he truly cares for the players he leads and truly loves what he does. And with so much to talk about, let's get right into this episode and welcome Galen Duncan. The future is bright for the Sacramento Kings. How excited are you, Galen, about the future of this super young Kings basketball team?
Man, I mean, you know, people who are watching this realize, man, these guys are just amazing, man. They're defying all predictions and, you know, I think it's a matter of these young guys just understanding, you know, that they're good. And it's just a matter of working into being a better team and developing those skills. So I'm really excited about these guys.
Yeah, I mean, every time an NBA season starts, we have these perceptions of what's going to happen, right? You have the Warriors, and that's already been given that they're going to win the NBA Finals, for example, and all these other predictions that the Houston Rockets are maybe the second best team, and they're off to a shaky start for their, you know, as far as what they thought was going to happen. And then you have a team like the Sacramento Kings, and here they are, you know, kind of right in the thick of it, right? They're a few games out from being towards the top of the division, top of the West, and very young and up and coming team. I mean, just a lot of things to get the big draft pick this year with Marvin Bagley third. And it's got to be an exciting time to be in Sacramento. I know, I mean, Sacramento, the Kings are the show in Sacramento. So I would imagine that the fan base there is sharing what we're talking about right now. The vibe is just got to be great there.
Well, you know, the crazy thing is it was even good when you're losing.
Yeah.
Because the fans here are just probably the best fans in basketball.
Right.
To come to a game here is like going to any of the great stadiums, you know, in the country or the world for that matter, because our fans are so passionate. It is the show in town and they fought to keep us here.
That's it. And I think we need more of that. You know, I've always found it just watching it on TV, even, you know, we're on the East Coast, but I remember the days Chris Webber and Mike Bibby and these guys, I mean, watching those games when they were playing the Lakers even. I mean, that was a team that we were all rooting for. You know, and the atmosphere in those arenas was amazing. And now bring it current day with these young players are like, it's like almost like a college basketball all-star team you guys got going on there. But these guys are doing it in the NBA. And there's a lot, I know, I would imagine there's a lot that it takes to go from being the all-star in grade school to high school to then college and being an All-American. And now here you are in the association. And it's a whole nother level. And there's a lot to deal with. And that's someone like you that's there to deal with it. I do want to go back real quick. I mentioned super in my before, the super young basketball team. And super is a big word in the NBA right now because you have these super teams. I just want a quick thought because it's a question we get all the time and it's a debate that's out there right now. What's your take on these super teams in the NBA?
You know, well, I grew up in the old school, you know, venue and situations where, you know, players stayed where they were drafted and there was a level of loyalty. Now, I mean, you know, hey, collective bargaining agreement has just placed these guys in a place where they have more control over their salaries, more control over where they live and where they play. So I'm all for that. I'm all for, you know, I've always been about the player. So I'm all for that as well. But, you know, my thing about the whole super team is this. You still got to put those guys on the court. They still got to compete and they still got to gel. It is a team sport. And even the rules have dictated our move now to make it more of a team sport. So you have less isolations. You have less guys being able to go one-on-one by themselves. So when it all comes together, it's still going to be the best team that's going to win games.
That's it. And you mentioned the word gel, and I think that's right. I mean, that's culture, right? All of that plays a role. I mean, even look at the Warriors when Curry goes down for a little bit. I mean, they had some other players hurt too, but you could see it. Like, they didn't have the same thing going on, and injuries are a part of the game. And there's just a lot of stuff happening that's not even injury related, right? Just off the court stuff that could play a role in how a team plays. And it's a long season. So, and I'm with you too. I grew up in the same era when, you know, the Bulls were making it happen, and it's a process, right? It didn't happen overnight. They had to lose to the Pistons. They had to, before that, lost to the Celtics. And then next thing you know, and they had to overcome it. And you saw a lot of these teams having to overcome to lose and to then get ahead. I'm with you there. I think the NBA overall, though, is in a really good place. I know you were with the Lions recently and then made the move to the NBA. Mm-hmm. They're both incredibly, obviously, powerful leagues. Mm-hmm. But based on my perceptions, if I'm buying stocks right now in professional sports, besides European soccer, which is enormous, and I think their branding's incredible, and it's making its way maybe to the United States. But if I'm buying stocks in the United States of professional sports, I'm buying the NBA over the NFL for so many different reasons. And again, not to say that the NFL is not in a good place, and the NFL's got a lot of things going for itself, but the NBA to me is just at another level, and they have the international thing. You got the international players coming over here, and they can play ball. You being a part of both of these leagues, what's your take on the state of the NBA today?
Well, you know, the great thing about the NBA, and I think David Stern started this, and it's continued on through the new administration, is that they embrace the millennial. Mm. You know, they embrace this millennial. The NBA is all about cool. It's about hip. It's about direct interaction and getting to know these players personally in their lives and realizing they're not much different, you know, than other entertainers, rappers, musicians, and actors. The longevity that these guys can play for numerous years. Our stars are around for 15 years, you know, those types of guys. So, you know, the brand that the NBA has created will stay because it is always hip to the culture.
I like that. And I think you're spot on. And that's my point about European soccer, because they created this brand and these players are followed and the teams are followed and there's this history. And like you said, they play for a long time. You know, soccer players play for 10, 15, 20 years and they travel around and they're part of these different teams, right? And then the NBA's done the same thing. They're very recognizable. They're not wearing helmets. You can see them and they're just... They just have this aura about them. And I think you're right that the NBA has embraced it. And I think that's important to do. It's important to do in any business, really. So now I want to move ahead a little bit to the doubters, right? This is something that you deal with, because there's a lot of doubt. There's a lot of haters. There's a lot of things going on. And we talked about off the court issues. And this is something that I think you're helping players with. But this isn't just players. This is yourself. As you're kind of building your brand, as you're building your career, whether you're a player, a general manager, or, you know, someone working for the organization, how are you and how are the players dealing with these doubters? Because like I said, you could have a De'Aaron Fox who's coming into the NBA with just all these accolades, and he's not going to have a great night every night. He's never faced this level of competition before. And then you might have an article or social media post that's kind of like second guessing him and saying he should have done this versus that. How is he or someone like that dealing with it? How are you dealing with it? Because like I said before, this is an 82 game season. And if you're lucky to make it to the postseason, then you're dealing with another couple months of basketball. There's so much coming at these players and at these organizations to deal with these doubters and these haters to keep moving on.
Well, I mean, like every organization, there's going to be issues and problems and people are going to have to deal with them. And, you know, the media's job is to create a story, you know, whether it's on the inside or the outside, and whatever they can do, they're going to have to do it. That's their job. Our job is to remain insulated. Our job is to remain on one accord. And our job is to know what's going on inside of our building with our guys. Our players, you know, hey, to be quite honest with you, they welcome that stuff. Yeah, write bad about us. Say bad things about us. Talk about us. That's fine. That's fine. But guess what? You got to play us. Mm-hmm. You got to play us eventually. And, you know, through the first 20 games, we're 10-10. Nobody could have ever saw this. You know, we're not surprised. We think we should be better.
You're not listening to the outside noise. You're blocking that out, but at the same time, like you said, you're welcoming it. And I think that's, you hear that all the time, right? It's, it sounds cliche in sports because it's like, well, we always expected to win. And it sounds like a cliche thing that a player would say, and they're, you know, instructed to say that. But like just hearing what you just said and the passion you said it with, and then you see the results, like you said, everyone expected, hey, the Kings are going to be the worst team in the West. Well, that's just not the case right now. And people are realizing that's not the case. And this team is on the up. And clearly it is not just a cliche. It's not just a thing that you guys are saying. You truly believe in it. And when you get that belief, and I would imagine you've been around professional sports and sports for a long time, that that is something you, once you set that belief and you set the vision, that it, once there's buy-in, there's not a lot that can stop you, right?
No. When you're on one accord and everybody's firing at the same thing, it doesn't matter what people are saying outside.
Yeah.
Our kids come to play. They play hard. And, you know, I guarantee that, you know, win or lose, every team we play this year has to step back and say, man, who are these guys?
That's it.
And we better get ready.
That's it. Well, I think perception exists in so many different levels. And I like that word, because there is going to be a perception out there, but you get to prove that person wrong. You get to prove those people, and you get to prove yourself right. And I think that's a lot of fun to do. Mm-hmm. And you have to have a lot of guts to go out there and prove it, because you could be wrong, right? You could lose, you could fail, you could end up in last place, but then hopefully you get better from mm-hmm. that. And that's what I think. I'm excited about the Kings. We look for those teams. It's like, well, let's not look at the Warriors. Yeah, they're fun to watch too, or the Lakers with LeBron now, but let's check out what are the Sacramento Kings doing and teams like that. I think that's a lot of fun. You had a long history of getting here. So the way we obviously met is Rudy Redmond, who works at our company. And he was talking about you and had these amazing things with the positive guy you are and what you're up to. And you're with the Lions, and now you're with the Sacramento Kings doing these things. And you were on a state championship track team in Michigan and played basketball, from what I understand. Tell me a little bit about your upbringing that got you here to where you are today.
Well, let me correct you. I was on 2 state championship teams. It should have been 3.
There you go. But,
and, you know, in all honesty, it's kind of similar to a situation that Rudy was in at the time. Rudy was a senior when I was a freshman in high school and was all-state, you know, very highly recruited track guy. And we were a bunch of young kids trying to figure it out. And we watched the way he handled himself as a professional, as a high school senior, coming to work and practice every day, working hard. And, you know, quite frankly, he set the standard, you know, for what we believed. And, you know, oftentimes many of the things that I thought about, you know, as I moved on, I have to look back at those moments with him on that team and learning how to win and learning how to also be a professional. We had a great coach by the name of Tom Eshman, who also, you know, pushed that with us and taught us how to be winners too. Was also lucky to play on some very decent basketball teams with some guys who went on to play college ball, and, you know, was able to, you know, push the learnings from my home life with, you know, living at home with 2 high school teachers and my father, who was a basketball coach for 30 years in Detroit Public Schools. You know, I've really grown up around the athletic realms, and, you know, marginal work ethic and things like that were not acceptable in my household.
You had to make it happen. There was no choice, it sounded like.
I don't have a choice right now.
Is that something you put on yourself when you say, I don't have a choice right now?
My 83-year-old mother is out here visiting right now, and who plays competitive senior basketball.
Oh, wow.
around the country. So, you know, if you understand anything about, you know, an 83-year-old that plays competitive basketball, you realize that I've spent a long time of my life having to deal with someone who wasn't going to fluff it up for me.
Yeah.
Either you're a winner or you're a loser. There's really no in between.
So what's interesting you say that, and you hear it a lot in sports, is like, there are no losses. There's only learning experiences. And I don't know how you feel about that, but I agree with you when you say, did you win or did you lose the game? Because, you know, you can talk about a game, you can talk about an event, and you can make excuses, or this happened or that happened. And well, but the question is, did you win or did you lose? And then they interrupt you and like, well, this happened. No. Did you win or did you lose the game?
Absolutely.
And that's the reality of it. And then you seem to find the positive. Yeah, you might lose and you can find the positive and make it a learning experience. And this is a question I want to get to towards the end. We ask all our guests, but it sounds like you're not even allowed to make the excuse. Like, it's just unacceptable to have an excuse. You just have to get back up there, and you lost, and now you got to go next time. You got to go win.
Yeah, but there's no other way to look at it. You look at a loss, and yeah, you can gather some things from it that can help you. But when you look at that loss, you need to be looking at things that are going to help you to win. I don't look at it as a loss. I look at it as something that's going to help me win. Now, if I continue to lose, yes, you know, by all evidence, you know, you have a losing record, you are essentially a loser
right.
that amount of time. But, you know, you have to gather things. The problem is that 20 years from now, when people look back at your record, they're not going to ask about the lessons. They're going to look at the record.
Right. Did you win or did you lose? I mean, it's that simple.
Did you win? That's what it comes down to. And so you have to put yourself in position to win and learn to win.
Yeah. What happens when you get a player in the organization that is all it wants to win, but doesn't have that maybe same feeling? Because you do hear it a lot. I mean, I hear it from professional sports that there are no losses. There's only learning experiences. And again, like we said, get it, but you have to have the right culture. So if a player comes in and they don't fit it, is that a situation where they don't fit the culture and we got to do something here, and the organization and the players and the GM or whoever is in that decision-making process gets together and figures out whether it's a trade or free agency or something along those lines?
Well, what I would say is we're very particular and selective when we look at bringing players in. And, you know, talent is the first thing we look at. Sure, we're not crazy. We're going to look at guys that can play. But the next thing is we have a group of core concepts that we call the King's Way. And within the King's Way, we assess a fit. And, you know, one of those things, you know, without giving away our secret, is that we look for guys who have the right positive mind frame towards being able to gel in our community.
Okay. And so if they fit that, then like you're saying, you're not running into the players. You're not having to have those conversations about a player that maybe doesn't fit the culture, because they would never have ended up on your team, whether it's through the draft, free agency, or a trade.
Exactly.
So you knew exactly who you're bringing in, and that conversation doesn't have to happen. No, that makes a lot of sense. It's like in a business, and you have the interview and you go through the process and you read them and you watch them and you kind of pay attention. Like, no, if something happens that's negative, they're going to cave. It's not going to work out. And that's the person that we can't have in here, because they're going to ruin the culture. They're going to ruin the team environment that we have going on us, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so now going back to the beginning, we're talking about a super young team. Now you have players that haven't fully, you know, they're not in their mid-20s. They're not even in their mid-30s yet, right? Or at the opposite, not even in their mid-20s. There's a lot that's going to happen they haven't experienced yet, but you've been able to figure it out through just the way you guys can figure it out, that you're drafting, let's say, a 19, 20-year-old, and you're comfortable in the process that you have of determining if this player is going to fit your process, even though they haven't experienced, you know, what's going to happen when they're an adult and then all these different things are thrown at them.
We dig very deep, and there are certain traits that by the time you've reached adolescence or the end of adolescence that you cannot hide. You cannot change. They are who you are. They can be finessed. They can be expounded upon. But if we have those traits in place, if we have those core concepts in place, if we have the building blocks in place, the foundation, then we can work with everything else.
Okay. Well, and the reason I'm digging deep on this one is because this isn't just for the Sacramento Kings. This isn't just for the NBA. This is any business, small, medium, large size business. We have a content platform, Sports Epreneur. We talk about the intersection of sports, business, and life. And it's important because a lot of things might be talking about hiring and firing, something basic. If you're a small business owner and you're hiring two people, that how do you know it's the right person? And it's something that business leaders deal with on a consistent basis. And it's clearly the stakes are incredibly high when you're talking about the Sacramento Kings, but relatively speaking, the stakes are equally as high for that entrepreneur, for that business owner that is hiring his first admin assistant, that is hiring a salesperson that they're bringing on. And I think it's different, but it's also related. That's the reason for digging deep, because I know people that are listening to this definitely want to hear what that's like when the stakes are super high, when you have the media, you know, analyzing your every single move, and that's the wrong player and you shouldn't have brought that in, but you're keeping it internal and making sure, and you know, and you trust in your process that, and you trust in your beliefs that this is the right player for our team. We don't care what anyone on the outside thinks. That's the reason for, you know, kind of digging deeper on that, because it plays out so often in business. I want to talk about, we talk a lot about the Kings and what's going on there and your sports background and being on two, should have been three championship teams. So you were at the Detroit Lions, now you're at the Sacramento Kings. How do you get into a position? Because there's only, in the NBA, there's only 30 NBA teams. The NFL, there's only 32. There's not a lot of spots to go around. How did you find yourself to get one of those coveted spots in professional sports?
You know, God has blessed me, man. To be honest with you, I've just had an opportunity to know great people and people to see my work. And I guess to understand, you know, where my heart is working with young players. And I've been blessed in a lot of ways, but I've also done the things to, you know, put myself in those positions, whether it be education, communicating, and networking, and meeting the right people and letting them know what I was doing. You know, I'm not a social media mogul by any means or anything like that, but learning to utilize that network has been something that's been big for me. So people see what I'm doing. You know, a lot of this stuff is word of mouth. And, you know, to be honest with you, if you treat players right, players run around telling who you are. You know, players are very careful about who they involve themselves with. Players are very careful about who they hold in confidence. And so with that being the case, you know, I don't really know to be able to give you like a blueprint for this, but I've always been in the right place, the right time, and I've been asked the right questions and been able to provide the right answers for people who are interested in having somebody like me around. I mean, I specialize in the guys who need help the most. I mean, you know, I grew my learning experience out of learning through tragedy. You know, I started out being more of like a tragedy guy for sports. You know, people lose somebody or guys are having a tough time getting or learning the basic principles of being a professional or being a professional athlete. I've always felt, you know, a need and desire to help young men be better people. And if I can help that way, you know, they're already blessed with talent and the ability to make things go. All I am is making those things, you know, or all I am is basically, I'm kind of like the guy who comes after the sculpture is done, and I just kind of shine it up a little bit and make it look right.
I love that analogy. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like, you know, you're the one, you're giving without looking for anything in return. And like you said, you want to help the one that needs help the most. And that's what you're there for. And that's what you're doing. And then the player sees that and you're like, no one's helped me more than Galen. You need to talk to Galen about this. And that's incredible. And you don't have to tell anybody because like you just said, it's word of mouth. They're just going to talk about it.
Right. And that's, I would say that that's a large portion of it. I mean, you know, I don't make millions of dollars. I don't live in a big home. I don't have fancy cars or anything like that, but what I have is the peace of mind that, you know, God gave me certain gifts and abilities. And for the most part, I've utilized those things for nothing but good to be able to help, you know, young men be better people. And, you know, I really don't have a good, strong answer other than that. I'm intrinsically motivated and excited about seeing the external product of what young people can become after I've worked with them.
Yeah, no, I mean, honestly, I think that's there's no right or wrong answers in all these things. I think that is a genuine answer because you're a genuine person that's truly just out there giving and helping these people. And there's just people, right? Just athletes are put on a pedestal so often because they're so good at what they do and they're so recognizable and perhaps they make a lot of money and they're in the news every day. But when you talk to an athlete, they're a person, no different than you and me or anybody else. And I think you take it to that human level and having a real conversation because people, whether it's a tragedy or something they're just dealing with on a consistent basis or just on that day, you know, they're having a bad day, but they got a big game that night. What are they going to do about it? And, you know, having someone like you, I would imagine, is incredibly valuable for them. So as it gets into the athletes, you're working with them, it sounds like on a daily basis, you know, especially the ones that need it the most. And we talked a little bit about branding athletes and the NBA is allowing the players to brand themselves, to get on Instagram, to get on any other social media platform and talk about it. But there's also the concerns, right? Because a player can get themselves in trouble by saying the wrong thing, by doing the wrong thing. Are you counseling? Do you have people in the Sacramento Kings or the NBA that's counseling these players on maybe, I don't know if what to say or what not to say or what to get involved in, what not to get involved in?
Yeah, I think that's a daily thing for all of us. I think from top to bottom, we educate from our coaching staff to our execs, you know, to myself. We're always trying to educate these young guys because we know we have young guys. But what I will tell you is that most of these guys have essentially been pros since they were 14 or 15 years old. Mm-hmm. And because of that, they've developed, you know, the ability to finesse, the ability to not get themselves caught up in too many back and forths. They're social media savvy. They understand what they can say and what they can't say. Now, we don't want anybody to be, you know, disingenuous, but we do want them to be careful. And, you know, to be honest with you, man, and the guys I work with, the young fellows that I have, I wish I had been nearly this mature when I was their age.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a whole different breed. Yeah, they do immature things. They're kids.
Right.
Young guys. They're young men. However, when that camera comes on, or when they start to make a tweet, or when they're doing anything, in the Black community, we call it code switching. But these guys are some of the best code switchers you can ever imagine.
Yeah. They know how to do it. No, that's a good point. It's interesting because, like, the millennial generation or whatever generation's coming up next, it's a generalization, and it's a ridiculous generalization, because if you just give them an opportunity and a chance and stop listening to what outside perspective is and actually talk with someone who is in that generation and understand, like you said, they may be really savvy. They may know more than you know about this, and they may be able to teach you something. It's interesting. We had a conversation earlier today with a business owner, and I'm learning from him, right? You know, and he's 23 years old, and he's got this incredible insight and this incredible drive. I'm like, I feel like we can learn from anybody. And if you really pay close enough attention, I have three children, and I watch my middle daughter, and I mean, I see her as like an entrepreneur. She drives me because she's just constantly working, getting after it. I mean, they all do in their own way. And it's just, I think if you open up your eyes, I think you can learn a lot. And I think that's what's cool about what you're doing, is it's not just you saying, hey, I got it all figured out. It's, I'm watching these young men that are very savvy in what they're doing. And I think that's great. It's not just you coming in there and saying, this is the only way to do things. It's, let's have a conversation and let's communicate as to what it is that we should be doing together. And maybe I could learn something from it as well.
Absolutely. I learn from my players every day. There's always something they're teaching me. And if I don't have the openness to learn from them and to sit down with them and to feel those things, then, you know, then I'm not doing my job.
That's right.
You know, how am I going to get better if I can't learn too?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you see it with the teams, and I'm sure you have this where you have the veterans and you have the young guys and the rookies, but the veterans might be the mentor for the young players, but the veterans might learn something from the young guys too. And I think it can go both ways. And that's the culture. It's that learning. It's that striving to get better every single day. And you see it with the best teams. And I would imagine that's what's happening with the Sacramento Kings right now, because clearly you're carrying a message of yourself, but also the organization, that this is everybody in it together and everyone's got to get better if we're truly going to compete. I mean, you're in the Western Conference, and I don't know if the Western Conference over the last few years and so on is just, it's so strong right now. And then you have LeBron James joins the Lakers, just making it even stronger. And just, there's not a night off, right? I mean, every night you have to bring it. It's just got to be, it's relentless. And you're we're 20 games in as we're recording this podcast, and you have a game tonight. It's just got to be nonstop, but it's got to be so exciting for you and the organization.
Right. I get that. Yeah, it's very exciting. I mean, these guys are like, they're doing things that nobody thought they would do.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really the cool thing about it, is that, you know, it's almost a chuckle inside our building, because at the beginning of the season, most people picked us to win like 17 games.
Right.
Much less to be 500 at, you know, the end of November. But, you know, let's keep this, let's be realistic with this thing and keep it, you know, very grounded, that we're 20 games into an 82-game season.
Right.
We've caught some people off guard. We definitely showed them that we can play. Now, the next thing will be, how do these guys, we actually went through a very tough two-week period where I think we went 500 there. But how do we solidify ourselves as a team that's to be, you know, concerned and worried about by others, will be projected in the next few months. It's going to get, you know, people are going to game plan us. It's like an NFL quarterback. You know, you see a backup quarterback come in and win a couple games, and everybody's talking about he's been that guy. Well, that's because nobody has any film on him.
That's right.
So once somebody gets some film on that guy, or film on a team, they see what you're doing. Now it's up to us to adjust to what others are going to do to try to stop us.
That's right. Constantly refining what you're doing and getting ready for it every single night.
Right. I think our coaching staff does an amazing job of relaying that idea and thought process to our players as well.
Yeah. Well, and you know, too, you're going to have a down. There's going to be a losing streak possible. Every team. I mean, the Warriors just had one, right, where they lost 4 out of 5 or whatever that was. And it could happen. But how do you respond to that?
Right.
And how do you keep getting back up? It sounds like is what you guys are doing. And I've already instilled that and laying the foundation for the future of this organization, which, as we talked about at the very beginning, is a bright one and exciting one. I'm excited too, because I think in mid-January, I believe January 17th, I'll have it right in front of me, I believe you guys are coming to play the Charlotte Hornets. So
we are.
East Coast road trip. So that'll be exciting too, to have you guys in town. So what I want to do now, Galen, is go to a quick question, quick answer, and get you out of here. I know you got a game tonight. Sound good?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. So if you weren't working in professional sports, what would you be doing?
Oof. Well, I don't even want to think about that.
That's it. This is it.
No, probably working in college sports.
Yeah, there you go.
College or high school. Yeah, you know, I mean, to be honest with you, my end-of-life job is probably an athletic director at a small university in the South.
Yeah.
You know, I think after I run the course of planes, trains, and automobiles, you know, I'd like to be able to sit behind a desk at a small college with a bunch of kids who have no dream or desire to go pro, to just love ball and want to be around it and want an education and want to grow to be better people.
Yeah.
And affect people's lives. And I always tell people, hey, and this is kind of morbid, I guess, but, you know, I'd like to do that until I'm 100 and die at my desk.
Yeah. No, I can understand.
You know?
Yep. You're from Michigan. I'm going to ask you this quick question. Do you have a favorite college sports team when you were growing up? I mean, was it Michigan State, somebody else?
Well, you have to choose very early on, although I have many friends who wear that green. I'm a U of M guy.
Uh-oh.
I did my doctoral internship there.
Okay.
I grew up, you know, loving and following those guys since I was a little kid.
Okay. Well, I was going to bring up a story real quick about a coach. I happen to be an Ohio State fan. My parents actually met at Ohio State. So we probably should have discussed that before we had the podcast, because we probably never would have talked to each other.
Yeah.
No.
we can stop this.
It's over now. It was nice knowing you, right? Yeah. I mean, you know what? It's funny, too. There's a lot of respect there, and I've always enjoyed. I mean, the Ohio State Michigan, just this past weekend, the game went on, and I mean, it's just – there's just nothing like it. There really isn't. Yeah. And even though Ohio State's obviously had the upper hand before that, Michigan had the upper hand. You know what I mean? So it's a lot of fun. I know it's stressful for Michigan fans. I was going to bring up a Jim Tressel story, because when Tressel was at Ohio State, you know, he was always helping the young people out. But a lot of these guys had aspirations to go pro. They had their little troubles. He had to leave. He's now at Youngstown State as a president. They always ask him, he's going to go back to coaching. And he's just having so much fun helping people, helping children, helping, you know, young adults. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of what you said. I think he's reached a point in his career where it's like, this is what he was meant to do at this point in his life. And I think I want to ask that question about Michigan first, because I had a feeling maybe, because I know Rudy's a big Michigan fan. So I had to ask about that.
Absolutely.
First. Yeah. So nothing but respect there. So maybe I know your answer for this next question. I'm not going to let you pick the Sacramento Kings, because that's the obvious one.
Mm-hmm.
But if I was going to only give you one sports team that you could root for the rest of your life, what team would that be?
Ooh. One sports team I can root for the rest of my life. Well, you know what? I have to be real honest. But even before Michigan, and I would be remiss to say this, even before Michigan, I'm going to root for Lake Superior State.
There you go.
Because that's where I went to school.
Yeah.
You know, if Michigan's playing Lake Superior State, you know, God bless Michigan. I love them. You're my second, but Lake Superior State gets all my love on that.
Yeah.
I'm kind of torn right now. My son plays at Medina University.
Okay.
So I'm rooting for him for the next four, and I like Coach Noel over there. So they would probably be right in that mix, too.
What is he playing over there?
He's playing a little basketball.
Okay.
He's playing a little ball. Yeah.
There you go. It's exciting, I'm sure. And to bring up a point before, you'd mentioned, you know, getting behind the desk. So you're traveling. How many days of the year are you on the road?
Oh, man. Well, 41 games doesn't mean 41 days. There's days in between that. So
yep.
A lot. Like, I looked at, you know, I'm in my apartment maybe 2 weeks out of every month, a week and a half.
Yep. And even the off season, there is no off season, right?
Nah, I mean, maybe a little bit at the end of July, but after summer league. But you know, middle to the end of August.
Yep.
You know, the guys who want to get real good are back here in the gym with our guys. So
yeah.
No, it's not a lot of off time.
Yeah, and I think it's cool to watch. I mean, there is no off season really in any business. And then when you get into the professional sports, and it seems like this different universe or world, but it relates so well. Obviously, we talk about with Sportsypreneur, our blog, but it does relate. And in order to make things happen, like you said, you've been blessed, but at the same time, you've been at the right place at the right time because you kept showing up. You were there. You're always doing it. And if that's the grind, that's what you have to do. So you're going to be on the road. If you pick this career, you realize it. If you're in the NBA, if you're in a professional sport, you're going to be on the road. And that just kind of is what it is, which kind of leads me to my next question, which was, when was the moment you told yourself you needed to make it happen and you gave yourself no excuses?
The moment I need to make, like, what in particular happened?
Anything in your life. I mean, it could be a specific moment. It's kind of like whatever comes to mind. It could have been something when you joined the Sacramento Kings and you realized it. It could have been when you're in high school or when you're sitting next to Rudy and you realize that you got to win the state championship. I didn't know if there's any specific moment that comes to your mind that, man, there's just, I got to do it and make no excuses. I mean, one of the things I hear a lot of is the type of person that you are, that's just, you've never given yourself excuses, which points to our earlier conversation about your 83-year-old mother, right? They were never allowed to do it. So it's like, it's a foreign question.
Yeah. That's why I kind of asked you to expound on it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's always been birth. I mean, I remember being in like the fifth grade and being a little nervous before like my first, you know, youth recreational basketball game. Might have been fourth grade. I don't know. And I remember, you know, sit at the kitchen table and I didn't want to eat. And my dad kept asking me what was wrong. And I was like, I don't know. My stomach feels funny. And whereas most people would have said, oh, he's scared. my dad was like, oh, that's great. And I'm like, you know, the 9-10-year-old, I'm like, great, what do you mean? My stomach feels funny. He's like, son, that's called butterflies. He's like, that's not about being afraid. That's about being ready.
Yeah.
And so I've always embraced that. You know, I love that feeling. I get that feeling before I speak. I get that feeling before our games. I get that feeling before I'm going to play ping pong against somebody. I get that feeling, you know, when I'm going to eat a good meal. I mean, man, I'm so blessed to just have so many things, man. And I'm giddy sometimes when I wake up in the morning at 5 because I got another chance to go out here and try to get a win somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I look in the mirror and I laugh. It's like, you know, how did I get here? You know?
Yeah.
And then I have to think back, man. I you know, I don't care what's going on around me, man. People can be, you know, I've been in situations where bullets were flying. You know, I've been in situations where, you know, things weren't nice. I've been in situations where things were super gravy. But I don't care. I don't ever recall a situation where I was ever going to be sad for very long. It's just not who I am, man. I'm not cut that way. I feel bad for people who do, but I'm just, you know, for the most part, man, my life has been one amazing tour of meeting amazing people and being around, you know, opportunities to learn. And I hate to sound like some glorified motivational speaker, but I'm not that, and I'm not that dude. I recognize that this world has a lot of strife and a lot of trouble. I'm just fortunate and blessed to have never had to succumb to it all. I'm just blessed to be around. I got great friends. I mean, I got great people around me, man. I get great opportunities. I mean, and I thank God for that every day, because I know he can take it away in at any moment. But I just wish more people looked at the good in things instead of always immediately jumping to what could be wrong.
Man, I think so many people need to continue to hear that. And more people need Galen in their life. I'll tell you that right now. Your mindset and I read this about you before we ever talked, and just the positive outlook you have on things, and that 1 minute chat that you just gave right there is everything. And it's motivational, just even when you're going through your day and you might just, you know, for a few minutes, you just might not be feeling it, to just think to what you just said. And you like you said, you're not trying to be a motivational speaker. You're just speaking your truth, and your truth can then relate to so many other people. And you sat at the dinner table and you were nervous, or you had something going on, but it wasn't nerves. It was just butterflies. And Dad recognized it and told you. And you're like, that just became who you, that's part of who you are today. And man, I'm just so excited that to spend that time with us and to share that on here. And because, you know, as entrepreneurs, you know, you go through it, you know, whether it's a basketball player or you're starting a business or an idea or you're part and you're trying to, you know, rise up in your company, whatever it is that you're doing, you know, it's just to find what it is that you are talking about and living that and embracing it and finding the good in it. Because there's a lot, like you said, there's a lot of negative, there's a lot of bad, there is. I mean, it's just, but everyone is dealing with it. You know, everyone's dealing with it in their own way. It's all relative, mm-hmm. but I'm just grateful that you were able that you knew Rudy and that you're able to get on this podcast and talk to us about the Sacramento Kings, about your journey, about your 83-year-old, you know, mom and you getting out there and playing basketball. And then you sharing that story with us and everything else. I just appreciate the time that I know you're a busy man and I appreciate the time and the motivation, even if it wasn't supposed to be motivation, it was. And we appreciate that. Galen, what is the best way people can get a hold of you?
You know, if people want to talk to me, you know, I'm on Twitter. I'm at Galen Duncan. You know, I love to do motivational speaking things for groups, and I would be more than willing. So if anybody wanted to hit me on that Twitter handle, at Galen Duncan, it's probably the easiest way to do it. You know, with the group that you're here with, I'd be willing to give my email address to. You can send emails to grduncan@wayne.edu. That's one of my college accounts that I still utilize. So any of those things would be great options for people to communicate with me if they wanted to, you know, further discuss things or even, you know, potentially book me for a speaking event.
Absolutely, Galen. Well, I know we'll be in touch. Like I said before, I appreciate you coming on here. We're going to be watching you and the Sacramento Kings making things happen. We'll check you guys out tonight. East Coast, it's 10:30, so it's a little bit late, but we're going to be watching. You guys are going to be coming on your East Coast trip here, so we're going to get out and see the Sacramento Kings take on the Hornets. But Galen, again, I really appreciate it. It's been a pleasure.
Hey, absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Galen, it has been absolutely awesome having you on this podcast. From your thoughts on developing young athletes to your work off the court, we're all better off from the time we spent with you. The perspectives from Galen on professional development are now perspectives you, the business leader, can use for yourself. And for that, Galen, thank you and go Kings. And for anyone looking to talk to Galen about his journey in the sports industry, we encourage you to reach out to him. If you have questions, feel free to reach out to me directly. You can find me on LinkedIn or contact me on Twitter and Instagram at Eric_Kaz. Thank you for listening to our KazSource podcast, Entrepreneur Perspectives, building and protecting your business one podcast at a time. Until next time, we're out of here. Win all in, play my cards right. This podcast exists in large part because of KazCM, the content marketing business inside KazSource, Inc. KazCM is excited to bring the content marketing services used at KazSource to you. Learn more by visiting KazCM.com.